Good morning, everyone. This is Live Dharma Sunday for October the 5th, 2014. My name is Sale Thomas. I've been kindly asked to host the program this morning. Reverend Coyle is in Seattle, Washington. I believe he's giving a talk over there. So you're kind of stuck with me this morning. I was just on the phone with Adrian Sensei, and we were having just a little talk, and I was just telling her about the week that we had over here. We had a very bad storm blow through our area here on Thursday, and as the storm was coming through, the temperature was about 95. It was very hot, very humid. And that's very typical here, except the temperature is usually a little bit higher. And we lost the cable, the internet service. It came back on. The storm was over in about 5 minutes and just blew right through. The sun came out after that. But Arlington, Texas, the home of the baseball and football team, you know, the Rangers and the Cowboys, they got hit really, really bad. The schools were all closed on Friday. There was quite a few power outages. I was looking on the internet. There was roofs that were torn off of dormitories, which fortunately were pretty much vacant at the time. But it was a really, really bad storm. And, you know, my wife's boss lives in Arlington, and a few years ago, they were hit with a tornado that came through there. So it seems like that's kind of a little rough alley to be in, that Arlington area, because they really, really don't have the most pleasant weather over there. But anyway, right now it's cool. It's very, very nice. It's in, I think it might be touching 70 now, but very pleasant day yesterday, and it's kind of nice to get in the shower, come out, and not start perspiring right away. So it's a great deal, a good deal. In fact, we slept with our window shut last night, which we haven't done since probably last February or last March. So it was kind of a treat for us. It's a big deal. We're all excited and jumping up and down. Doesn't take much to make us happy here in Texas, does it? This was quite a week that I had over here. It was an anti-technology week. Last week, or it was a week ago Thursday, I work out of the house, and I'm sitting here working with the TV on in the background, and the TV went out, and I went, oh boy, okay. And it took a little while, and the TV came back on. And what had happened, our internet cable provider did an upgrade at the time. And it's been very, very interesting. We have two TVs in the house, one here in the living room and one in our bedroom. And they both work differently right now. Used to be able to turn the TV on in either room, get the prior station. Well, now you have to go through a whole big format. And in the bedroom, not in the living room, when you go in, good chance it's not hooked up with the cable, so you have to rehook that up. Then you have to go looking for what channel you want. Well, it's easy because I have them all memorized, but my wife just throws her hands up in the air and goes, I don't know what, and it's just to get the cable guide, that's another ordeal. But then sometimes when you turn it on, it gets back to the last channel. So you tell me how that works. Now, in the living room, we have a whole different scenario. You have to physically turn the TV off on the TV itself, or the TV somewhat stays on, it keeps flickering. And on the TV in the living room, we cannot get a full picture. Well, I've called our cable provider, and it's like playing stump the rep. made 4 phone calls, and every one of them kind of just waits to I'm off the phone because they have no idea what to do. So this was my week in technology. You know how things never go right? Well, expect the unexpected, because that's what we've been hit with over here. And our second episode with technology is, I am on my son's cell phone plan, and he had an opportunity through his employer, which is AMC, the American Movie Channel, to get a pretty good discount from his old carrier, which was Verizon, and this was with Sprint. So he spent about 8 hours there yesterday transferring all the phones over. He has enough kids to make a baseball team, and all the phones had to go back and so forth. Well, we got our phones last night, and about 11 o'clock at night, I started playing with mine. Got the emails both fine, and the other two apps that I always like to download are MSN and Facebook, and another one is one of the local TV channels. Well, at 4 o'clock in the morning, as I was still trying to get these on, I just about gave up. I had no idea what to do. I just got the little red flag out and was waving the surrender signal because I was really, really stumped. If you're familiar with a cell phone, the smartphones, you go through Play Store, well, that was doing nothing at all. It was just keep rejecting me. You'd get the little thinking sign and Play Store, and it would go nowhere. So after getting a couple hours of sleep, I got up this morning more determined than ever, and I got 2 of the 3 apps already first thing this morning. So I will be having a challenge right after this broadcast to get the last one on, because I'm going to cut off my nose to spite my face, I guess. I'm not going to let it defeat me. So anyway, that was our exciting week here in White Settlement. And now I would like to present our Dharma Glimpse, which will be given by Douglas Coyle. Doug was a classmate of mine as we both went through the LM program, which was LM4. Doug was living, can't remember exactly what town, but it was south of L.A. I know he had about a 45-minute drive to work. It got retirement time, and he says, okay, I guess I've had enough. And him and his wife, Patty, who was also a classmate, they packed up and moved to Seattle, Washington, which is where Reverend Coyle, coincidentally, is speaking today. So without any further delay, I would like to present Douglas Coyle for his Dharma Glimpse today. Douglas?
Last week on this program, we heard about the premature death of a man who late in his life broke out of a pattern of stereotype behaviors and began to live in the present moment. In Reverend Coyle's words, he unpacked his bags. I have heard this teaching before, and I feel it very personally. Most of my life has been spent looking for myself over the next hill. This is probably why I stayed in the Navy. Every 3 years or so, I would be on the move, and for a while, I could pretend that the new surroundings were a promise of a new life. Of course, soon the novelty wore off, and it would become just like everywhere else. And it didn't matter if I was in Norfolk, Virginia, or Okinawa, Japan. As the saying goes, everywhere I went, there I was. Well, now Patty Kayo and I are getting settled in the Great Northwest and are taking the Unpack Your Bags teaching to heart, at least in the literal sense. We are using the good china, painting the walls a different color, and starting to take advantage of what the area has to offer, including engaging the local populace. We found a place that does secure document shredding, and I finally got rid of several boxes of personal paperwork that I had been carting around for over 20 years. So far, so good, but to a certain extent, these are still distractions and a continuation of an ingrained pattern of filling up the day, solving problems, real or created. And even though we meditate, stay connected with bright dawn, and practice Buddhist precepts, in my mind at least, there is the nagging awareness that for the most part, I'm still going through the motions of living. And like in the Navy, still waiting for something to happen to me. So what is the next step? In the Everyday Suchness essay called Living Life, Reverend Kabosi says, be the artist of your own life. I've never really had a good feel for what this meant or how to go about it. I've never known what I wanted to be when I grew up. And although I can find almost anything interesting, I've never been passionate about something to the exclusion of everything else. The idea of living creatively or artistically seems to be a lot like improvising in music, something else I find baffling. The jazz instruction books I own say everybody can improvise. That is, take the same raw material we are all given and make something individual and personally meaningful out of it. Simply play what you hear. Good advice, but first you have to be able to hear what you hear. For a lot of us, making that leap is difficult, if not impossible. I read, I study, I practice, but I'm still playing what someone else put on the page. Is that a lack of talent or a lack of faith? Interestingly, I have actually written some music, and that kind of surprises me. A lot of it has been done using the trial and error, hunt and peck for the right note kind of composing, but occasionally I have had a true spontaneous musical thought. But I have to keep going, so it occurred to me that maybe the idea of struggling to find this true self was forcing the issue. Buddhism often teaches through a process of negation rather than affirmation. When I try to say what something definitely is, I immediately restrict it. But if I say what something is not, I can come closer and closer to what it really is. I know when I'm being dishonest or phony or behaving out of character, and I am no stranger to the five hindrances. So instead of trying to figure out who I am, why not through mindfulness realize when I am behaving like who I am not, or at least don't want to be? Here's a camping phrase. Don't play what you don't hear. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Sensei. I really sincerely enjoyed listening to that. I also was listening to Reverend Coyle last week when he gave his little talk emphasizing, you know, a person needs to unpack his bags. I think there was a lot of wisdom contained in that. And, you know, you shared a few things this morning which I thought were really, really important. Number one is, I liked when you said we're using our China, our good China right now. And it's kind of funny in a way, but when we moved from Michigan, when we headed to Las Vegas, I was talking with my wife and I said, you know what, we're going to leave the China for the kids, probably for my daughter. Why not give it to her right now? That avoids her from traveling all the way across country after we both pass away, trying to figure out how to get China all the way back home. And you know what? We did that, and as far as I know, she doesn't miss it. I know I don't either. And we just eat on our everyday stuff, which is good and fine with me. You know, the keep it simple kind of syndrome. I also enjoyed when you said you had gotten rid of paper, which you had kept for over 20 years. And boy, I know that's a burden too. You carry things that you find out are most important, and it goes from here to there to here to there. And what's interesting is you probably never, ever really look at it at all. I know every now and then I go through a little phase where I clean out quite a few books that I've been accumulating. And I'll go back and say, you know what, I never look at this one. I really have no interest in looking at it again. Here's another one. I didn't really care for this topic at all. I never got the author's point and so forth. And, you know, it's packing them all up and taking them to a library where maybe somebody will really, really enjoy it and get things out of it that I just totally overlooked. So that really hit home when you said that. You also kind of talked about maybe, I don't remember how you put it, but, you know, what am I doing right or what am I not doing? And it reminds me of the infamous statement from the Dhammapada, where the Buddha told us we are what we think. And that's what we really need to have to guide our life in the right way. I've been reading some books lately, and that point comes across very, very, really strongly. And I've always known this, but all of a sudden this topic is just really kind of banging me alongside of the head. And we do. We make our own lives, whether we want to believe it or not. We can get up in the morning and decide either to be happy or be miserable. It's not easy. I have learned that along the way in trying to stay, you know, real upbeat and positive. It's not an easy chore. And I know I'll go throughout the day and sometimes get in maybe what I might want to call a little crabby or testy mood. And it's like, okay, stop right there. You don't really want to do this at all, do you? Better put a halt on this action. What I have determined is probably the ideal state, and I had a Dharma glimpse on this once. It was from an article in 2010, I believe, or maybe it was 9, about, it was in the Shambhala Sun, it was about the Golden Rule. And to simplify it, just saying, I will try to treat others as I would like to be treated myself. And that's kind of a neat little catchy statement, but sometimes it is really hard, if not impossible, to do that. But when we really think that we don't want to be abused, misled, hurt, it's at that time we really have to stop and think about what we're doing. What is this action going to do? And it's not only the action, it's actually even the thought behind the action. You know, the thought always will precede what we do next. You know, it precedes before we open our mouth or the actual action we take ourselves. In some of my recent readings, one of them was in the book Buddhism, Plain and Simple. There's a little section on this too, that, you know, how the tone of our life, or how we think sets the whole tone of our life. And again, get up in the morning and you want to have a good day or do you want to have a bad day? Hey, it doesn't really matter. It's all up to you. It's that mindset. And I'll be the first to admit that it's just not an easy thing to do. But I found out that if you keep reminding yourself of that all day and keep promoting that fact, boy, that's just really, really a big boost. Another thing I kind of found very, very enjoyable was the current issue of Reader's Digest had a story about the current Pope of the Roman Catholic Church. And when he gave his first address, he gave something just very, very simple and very, very plain. And his message was, don't rub each other the wrong way. Which, to me, I interpreted that just, again, loving kindness. And, you know, that's something that's really taught in all religions. And look at the Dalai Lama. What does he say? He doesn't say, oh, I'm a Buddhist. He says, my religion is kindness. And I'm just finding that just so important as we go from step to step. It's just like you open up your mouth and you're ready to maybe give a snide remark or a snappy answer to somebody. And if you're able to remember that, boy, that just puts you to a halt right away. So I guess this goes back to what Sensei was talking about in his talk. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. And look, him and his wife, Patty, decided to we're going to pack up and move. And then when we get there, we're going to do a whole bunch of things, you know, like using our china, getting rid of all the paper that I've accumulated over 20 years that I never look at, actually. So I found a lot of words in the talk. I just really enjoyed that immensely. So that is about all that I have for today. I hope the message that came across through the Dharma Glimpse was good and important to everybody, as it was to me. So with that, I would just like to say, everybody who's listening, have a beautiful day. Thank you very much.